So there's been so much incline towards protecting cows. We know that this is something that we preach about and talk about. And just an interjection here, by no means do I suggest that Vaishnavas should become vegans. We're not vegans. We believe in consuming or offering and then consuming milk products to the Lord, and in the benefit that is accrued by actually living on a diet which is really based on milk products. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have our own cows. He wanted us to actually take care of, quote unquote, as many cows as you can have. And obviously from those cows, then Prabhupada wanted us to maintain not only our farms, but our temples, our farming communities, and so on. Just like here in Mayapur, we have this wonderful city, extraordinary city that we're building. And we have our Goshala, but there's hundreds, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that want to be coming to the space on a daily basis. So there's really actually unlimited facility for us to realize the real need that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the real solution to us having to somehow or another be implicated. And even if we don't necessarily believe that there's karma involved, we become on a very unstable footing when it comes to preaching. Because nowadays, this veganism is very much a hot topic that a lot of people. And when those people read our books and they ask, where do you get your milk from? Then if you want to give an argument, well, it's pure farm for the cows that get slaughtered. It's not an argument that I like to give or that I would give. But it doesn't make for good preaching. Preaching really means that we're walking on a talk, that we really believe in cow protection. We depend on cow protection. And here's an example. Yes, Chadbara was had to do his duty, but still Srila Prabhupada points out that he was very careful still not to commit any violence to the living entities. So no doubt we have our duty, we have to maintain ourselves, we have to offer our milk and milk products to the deities, to our family. This is what we believe in, or be on the fire. However, we should do it in such a way that it causes no violence to any living entity, and really sets the example, or follows the example that Krishna himself set 5,000 years ago. The other topic, which is obvious here, is that here was Jadbara, a Mahabhagavata, an extraordinary Vaishnava. And this Maharaja Ugana was going to Kapila Ashram. Kapila Ashram is the place of Lord Kapila. So he was a Vaishnava of sorts, and yet he could not recognize the Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada often would quote this sort of verse of his composition, Vaishnavya that you cannot necessarily recognize a Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami cites this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship to Vaishnavas who are on the platform of prema. Maharaja Ugana wasn't on that particular platform. But there's this English saying, is that things aren't always as they seem. Actually, in Krishna consciousness for us, it's not a matter of things aren't always as they seem, things are never as they seem. Now, one of them is that it's very difficult to actually ascertain the nature of a Vaishnava, the position of a Vaishnava, their particular level of advancement just by external symptoms. But not only is it difficult to ascertain the nature of a Vaishnava, it's difficult to ascertain the nature of anything. Who are we? What do we see? I see a body. I don't see the soul. So this immediately becomes the prime illusion for people in this world, is that everyone identifies with what they immediately see. And what they immediately see here is a male body, here's a female body, here's a dog body, and so on. But they don't see Pandita Samadarshana. They don't actually see that within all of these bodies, there's actually something else. There's the soul. In Bhagavatam, there's this word antardhan, which is brought up. Antardhan Shakti is a potency that that some of the Gandharvas, demigods have, which is that to become invisible. Srila Prabhupada explains that this word antardhan means something that you can sense but you can't see. It's like the body. You can sense that there's something else there in that body, but you can't see. I can't see the soul, but I can sense that there's something there. How do I know that there's something there? Because it's conscious. Because this body is conscious. It has a certain level of consciousness. Now, depending on what type of body we look at, even ants have consciousness. And that consciousness is something that doesn't come from the body. It activates the body, it moves the body, things aren't what they seem. We're here in Navadvipa. How many of us are really in Navadvipa? We're sitting in Navadvipa, but Svadhu Nashakti is Bhutaratikya Guru Vishnavikatam Ramyaramitam. There's Navadvipa's Chintamani Dhamma. All of these nine islands are Chintamani islands, and there's so many extraordinary palaces here where Krishna Sankirtanam, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing Krishna Sankirtanam with his associates. But our perception of Navadvipa may be more West Bengal than it is of that sweet of wheat, that eternal apricot now. And that's also, this is described, I think, in Bhaktisandharaji Goswami goes at length to describe how this antardhan shakti, similarly, we feel, we know that this is more than just West Bengal. Being in Mayapur, you feel that it's more than being in Calcutta. You have the feeling that there's something else here, although we may not be able to see it. Srila Prabhupada, even very early on in New York, when he would give lectures, he'd talk about Vrindavan. He would say, if you go there, you can feel the spiritual atmosphere. And although Srila Prabhupada wasn't someone to put much emphasis on feelings, but here Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing, yes, you can feel that this is Vrindavan. What we see of Vrindavan is something else. Real Vrindavan, the eternal Vrindavan, that same Vrindavan that was present when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. But certainly Srila Prabhupada pointed out, yes, you can feel. So this was an interesting phenomenon when Krishna was present, for instance, on the planet 5,000 years ago. And the same was not said, so I can't say that the same took place when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago. But 5,000 years ago, Vrindavan in India looked like Vrindavan in Goloka Vrindavan. It was the same. That Chintamani, Prakarasatma, Shikapa, Viksha, Vakshavati, Shushurati, Ravipali, Antam, it was the same. On this earth, you could see the spiritual world. Krishna saw Karma Pavati, but when Krishna left this world, then Jiva Goswami says, then Krishna's antardhan shakti, it covered Vrindavan, and therefore all of those wonderful Radhakund and Shamakund and all of those wonderful places, they all became covered. And they became covered by what appears to be the material energy. And so we see a different type of material counterpart of Vrindavan. So everyone can see it. Some rare people can see it. Adyabhi Sayyid Abhonabhuvarabhur. Some very Bhagavan, those who are very fortunate, if they have the eyes, they'll be able to see that same Vrindavan, but it's not everyone who goes in there can see the same Vrindavan. So things aren't what they seem, but it's there. It's all pervasive. The calm is everywhere. Navadvipasthiya. That Chintamani Dhamma, Navadvipasthiya. That Chintamani Dhamma of Vrindavan is there in Vrindavan. But still we don't see it. Things aren't what they seem. Is Radha Madhava. They're not what they see. They may look to certain people, and it depends on who comes in. In fact, I just remember when I first used to come to the temple, I joined Krishna Consciousness in Montreal. And when I first came to the temple, there was only Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra on the altar, and there was a Panchatattva picture. And it probably took me about 5-6 visits before I even noticed that there was somebody on the altar. I still knew there was an altar. I saw there was an altar. Everyone was facing the altar and dancing on Sunday program. I didn't see anything. So people see, they come, they see Radha Madhava according to their own level of faith and devotion, and they'll be some, see something different. And ultimately, as the Brahmin from South India said, who came and saw Gopal and Vrindavan, he said, "You're not a deity." He says, "You are the son, directly the son of Nanda Maharaj. You're Krishna. That same Krishna is here." So things aren't necessarily what they seem. In fact, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, even everyone didn't see him. Srila Prabhupada points out the residents of Vrindavan saw him and Pandavas saw him, but the demons didn't see Krishna and the non-believers didn't see Krishna. Actually, they simply saw a pass, or they saw a shadow or a reflection of Krishna. Once again, Jiva Goswami describes this principle that Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, unless you have love for Krishna, you can't see Krishna directly. So even what they did see, and they did see something that resembled Krishna, but it wasn't Krishna directly. It was actually a reflection of Krishna. So things are not necessarily what they seem to be. Even this table is not what it seems to be. This world that we're looking, this so-called reality, is not what it seems to be. We see a certain perspective, we see a certain aspect of the world around us. But what does it mean, conditioned soul? We see according to our conditioning. We see everything in three dimensions. But the world isn't made of three dimensions, it's unlimited dimensions. And even in quantum mechanics, they recognize that you can't explain quantum mechanics just in three dimensions. You have to accept that there is possibly more than that. So the world isn't the way that we see it. Srila Prabhupada would often say, "What can you see?" And Prabhupada was flying over the Alps. He says, "I saw a golden mountain." Who else in the airplane saw a golden mountain? Some golden mountains. But Srila Prabhupada saw that same thing. So ultimately, our vision, as it becomes more and more purified, we get to see things more and more as they are, according to our particular ability to actually perceive things. But that is what we want to see. Ramananda Roy, and he saw Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu. He said, "I've seen, when I look at you, I see this black boy and this golden doll." He used the word doll. Golden girl and boy. He said, "Why is that?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to avoid the path. And he pointed out, someone who's very advanced like you, Ishtadeva Spurti, they see their Ishtadeva, they see Krishna everywhere and in everything. So that is actually real vision. Real vision actually becomes that we see Krishna, or at least we see Krishna's potencies. ninth chapter, especially the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that Shashishuri, the light of the sun, the moon, the sun is rising and it's shining. What is the light of that sun? That's Krishna. What is the light of the moon? That's also Krishna's Shakti, Krishna's potency, Rasabhama Subhanti. The taste of water, what is that? That potency is also Krishna. So Krishna gives us this sort of sadhana, this type of practice, how we can actually cultivate the vision of reality, the vision of really seeing things as they are, which means seeing that actually Krishna is in everything and Krishna is everywhere. Yoma Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashyati. When Krishna concludes the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, then he says, actually the essence of devotional service is to be able to see me everywhere. He says two things, to see me everywhere and everything, and to be equipoised to all living entities, to treat everyone as you would treat me. It was a very interesting summary. It's a very, very long Uddhava Gita. It's a very long treatise, Krishna speaking in great detail. And he speaks, in one sense, a lot more about devotional service there than he does to Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita. So he summarizes this, that reality we can really understand when we become qualified to appreciate Krishna, to see Krishna, and to understand Krishna. And when we do, then we get to see things as they are. And ultimately, we get to see Vaishnavas for who they are. So Srila Prabhupada was very fond. Vidya, Vinaya, Sampani, Bhavadigala, Haschini, Sunichaiva, Subhakecha, Pandita, Savadarshana. He liked to quote the verse. If this is the vision of a pundit, a pundit will at least see the spiritual nature in everyone. And obviously, along with the individual soul, and he also sees the soul. You also see Krishna is also present there. And when you see Krishna, then you see things actually according to how they are. Otherwise, one needs to be very cautious, very humble in our approach and in moving in this world, because we can end up then causing offense, as what Raghunanda was worried about. He says, I'm not worried about the wrath of Lord Indra, or the thunderbolt of Indra, or Lord Shiva's anger, or the demigods, and so on. But I'm very, very concerned about committing offense to a Brahmana. And of course, Jatvara was more than a Brahman, he was a Vaishnava. Anyway, it's 2:15. So I think we don't have time for questions, and I don't want to I won't answer this particular question, and I'll just close there. Thank you all very much for your patience and tolerance. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.